chapter 7 this morning, Matthew in chapter 7, verses 13 through 14 will be our text. Matthew 7, verse 13 through 14. Jesus, as he's nearing the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew 7 and beginning of verse 13, says this: "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled, "Welcome, Please Come In." Welcome, please come in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you this moment, I just ask your blessing upon the service. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to give attention to the Word of God and minimize distraction. Lord, help me as I preach, Lord, to be clear and with your command, be clear with what is right and wrong, but also be clear with your mercy and your forgiveness. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Banana, black cherry, black raspberry, black raspberry chocolate chunk, buckeye, butter pecan, cherry vanilla, chocolate, almond chocolate chip, chocolate marshmallow, chocolate peanut butter, chocolate pretzel caramel swirl, coffee, cookie dough, cookies and cream, deluxe vanilla, German chocolate, lemon custard, Mackinac Island fudge, maple nut, mint chocolate chip, one of my personal favorites, mint fudge brownie, moose tracks, orange pineapple, peanut butter, peppermint stick, pralines and cream, Rocky Road, strawberry cheesecake, strawberry, coffee, caramel crunch, and plain old vanilla. This is the menu at Dietz Brothers Ice Cream. And the flavors that you can find, these are the flavors that are available all year round. These 33 all-year flavors. If we were to add to this list the selection of 6 sherbets and 20 seasonal flavors, we get 59 different choices that could be made when you enter the wonderful establishment of Dietz Brothers Ice Cream here in Findlay. And I begin with this to illustrate the reality of the world that we live in, and it's the world of overwhelming choices. Walk down the aisle at the grocery store to buy your favorite cereal, and you may have to hunt just a little bit because of all the different options and selections that are there, some of them heart healthy and others not so much. And the truth this morning that I'm trying to illustrate is this: while you may be able to pick your flavor among this multitude of options at Dietz Brothers, at Dietz's, or have it your way at Burger King, when it comes to eternity, there are only two choices. There are only two choices. When it comes to our eternity, there are only two doors. There are only two options. And these are the options that have extended down through the ages as God's redemptive plan has unfolded all the way back in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Moses said it this way: "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." And this morning, while we may have different backgrounds, different cultures, different skin color, or a different color of our passport, there are only two kinds of people in this world: those that have chosen life and those that by default have chosen destruction. In Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, he speaks of two doors. He speaks of two gates. He speaks of two choices. He speaks of a broad gate and a straight gate. He speaks of a broad way and he speaks of a narrow way. And if you have made the right choice already this morning, you know where this sermon is headed and you've made that decision before. You've chose to enter the straight gate and to walk the narrow way and you've accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus is not saying this to promote a sense of moral superiority by any stretch of the imagination. But he's calling us to understand that following Christ and being a Christian in this world is one that is against the mainstream. It is against the mainstream of society. Nor this morning is Jesus trying to belittle or beat up anyone who has not made this decision. But he's welcoming them to make this decision. Even as he begins in verse 13, he begins with welcoming words, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Enter ye in at the straight gate. I want us to notice as we begin here this morning that the door to the broad way and the door to the narrow way lead in two very different directions. Lead to two different destinations. The broad way that's mentioned here, it leads to destruction. He says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth" where? "To destruction." That word destruction, it means ruin. It means loss or damnation. It means death. And I can speak from experience here because that is the way that I have walked. And every person in here, even if they have accepted Jesus Christ, they started life on that road. The broad way is the way of sin. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God's eternal life. The broad way, the way of the natural man is the way of sin that leads to death. James 1:15 says this, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The broad way is the way of sin. The broad way, my friends, is the way of unbelief. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9 says this, speaking of God's judgment to come, he says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God," notice this, "and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Jesus is very bold. He's very blunt in this passage this morning. Therefore, I must be bold and blunt. But Jesus here is lovingly welcoming us to enter into the straight gate, but also passionately warning of the direction of the broad way. It leads to damnation. The broad way leads to eternal damnation in a real place called hell. Let me read to you from Revelation verse 20, 11 through 15. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Jesus is passionately saying, come, enter into the straight gate, enter into the narrow way. But he's warning of the damnation of hell that the broad way leads to. Jesus told to his disciples again, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a net." This is in Matthew 13. "That was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast away the bad. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said unto them, "Have you understood these things?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." This broad way that Jesus speaks of, this wide gate, it leads to destruction. But Jesus offers us what a great and glorious alternative. This narrow way that he speaks of leads to life. While the broad way leads to destruction and damnation, Jesus tells us this narrow way that he speaks of, it leads to life. And this isn't just any life. This is the abundant life here on earth. This is the everlasting life in eternity. For the wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God, it's eternal. What? Life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 10, 28 and 29, many a Christian have hung their hats on this verse. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And Jesus is saying, if you will but enter into the straight gate and walk this narrow way, you can know what eternal and abundant life is. John, 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And Jesus displays before us this morning, lays out before us this morning, two eternal choices, the broad way to destruction and the narrow way to life everlasting. But I'll call your attention to one reality that we see in this passage, and it's this: the way to destruction is easy to be found. The way to destruction, notice the adjectives that define this way. It's defined as wide, broad, and he uses some words to simply say it's crowded. He says it's wide. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the other gate. Wide, meaning having a great or considerable distance or extent between the sides. Imagine, if you will, the widest highway that you've ever driven on. Do you know the widest highway in the United States is also the widest in the world? It's a section of Interstate 10 known as I-10, the Katy Freeway, located in the west side of Houston, Texas, boasting at its widest point 26 lanes. It boasts that it can handle 400,000 cars a day. Yet there is a way that is broader than that. There is a way that leads to destruction wider than that, because it's able to handle some 8.2 billion. It's broad. Broad also means this: not limited or narrow, of extensive range or scope. Notice this: embracing a great number or variety. Today's terminology, we might say it's inclusive. It's accepting of every person. No matter what you believe, no matter what you think, it's easy to find the broad way. And even though the broad way is wider and more vast than I could see, it's crowded by the vast majority of the earth's population. It's crowded. You say, how do you know it's crowded? Well, in verse 13, he says, many there be which go in thereat. This is the way that leads to destruction. It's wide and vast, and the gate is easy to find. It's gaping wide, easy to enter. It's natural to go that way and to enter into that door. And this way it leads to destruction. It's very inclusive. It's open to all manner of people that believe all manner of things and believe whatever it is that you want to believe. Let me tell you can believe your truth, and another person can believe their truth, and they both can go their own way, but in the end, they're still going the same direction. They're going in this broad way, and it doesn't matter where you are and what you believe and any of these deciding factors on religion that are thrown out today. Well, you believe this, and you have these traditions, and I have that traditions. Let me tell you, they all can be summed up and be given entrance to what Jesus calls the broad way that leads to destruction. This notion of you having your truth and believing what you think is true, and it's true, and then my truth, it gives you the false sense of individuality. But in reality, when you believe your truth, you are going the way of the mass hordes of society. And that way leads to destruction. You can live a life that's full and travel each and every highway and say, I did it my way, but in reality, doing it your way is falling in with the rank and file of mainstream society. As I was studying this passage, the thought came upon me, and it's very true. But what Jesus essentially is saying here and describing this broad way is this: there are infinite ways to go to hell. You know, being religious will send you to hell. Matthew 5:20, Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, these Pharisees, the Bible tells us in Matthew 23 that they were hypocrites. They paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and they did all, dotted their I's and crossed their T's, and they were the most religious and did all of the religious rites and exercises and activities and the purifications, and the list goes on and on, days and events and times, but they failed to have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And their human righteousness is as filthy rags, and it could not gain them admittance into the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying that you can't be religious and go to heaven. Being religious will send you to hell. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace means getting what you can't earn. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Religion, what does religion tell you? It tells you the only way to heaven is by doing certain things. The religion tells you to go to heaven, you got to be baptized. My Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says religions say that if you're gonna go to heaven, you need to do all of these things. You need to get baptized, and you need to tithe, and you need to give money, and you need to light candles, and you need to pray these prayers, and you need to do good deeds, and you need to all this and that and the other. But let me tell you, all of that is nonsense, because doing will not save you. Many there be that are deceived into thinking that the good things that they will do can get them into heaven. Yet even the religious of this world are walking with the countless crowds headed for death and eternal destruction in hell. Religion will send you to hell, but you know what else will send you to hell? Rejection of religion will send you to hell just the same. Many say, well, I don't even believe that God exists. Psalm says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So denying the existence of God and denying religion altogether is not the ticket either, my friend. In Revelation 21, as it's giving the list of all those that will be cast into the lake of fire, right in there is the unbelieving. You know what else leads to destruction? Following your heart leads to destruction. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What does that mean? It means there are a vast amount of people on this road that leads, this broad way that leads to destruction, who are believing their truth, and this way seems right unto them, but it's leading straight to destruction. Following your heart leads to destruction. That's why the Bible says, keep your heart, restrain your heart, bind it upon that which is true and fast in Scripture. Pride and stubbornness leads to destruction. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And Jesus, in Luke's account of what Jesus said here in the Sermon on the Mount, in Luke 13, he said it this way, beginning of verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door to the house, and ye begin to stand without and to knock the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Notice this, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he goes on, and he says, and you yourselves will be thrust out. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying there will be many who have sat so close to the gospel message, yet have rejected it. And when the day comes, when judgment comes, they're going to think, well, I've heard these things. I believe that God exists, and I know who Jesus is. But Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you, because you did not trust in me for your salvation. I wonder how many Americans have heard the gospel, yet have rejected it. I've spent much of my life, in fact, still over half of my life, in a communist country where there are no churches on every corner. Yet here in America, where the gospel message relatively is quite well known, yet many reject it still. Ignorance of the gospel message leads to destruction. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why is it that we send missionaries to China and we send missionaries to Africa? Because there are people in those places, and even here at home, that's why we go, who do not know the truth, who've never heard the gospel message. But as we consider this broad way that leads to destruction, we must, each and every one of us, acknowledge that we are on the broad way by default. The broad way is so easily to be admitted to that when we're born, we're already on it. When you begin life on this, broad way that leads to destruction by default. See how so? Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. We're born with a sin nature in need of salvation. And while with us this morning we could spend hours talking about the infinite ways and ways in which Jesus is rejected, the infinite ways to enter into this broad gate that leads to destruction, there is but only one way to enter into the straight gate. There is only one way, my friends, that leads to life. And this way is the opposite of the broad way. It's not described as wide or broad. It's straight, narrow, and uncrowded. Notice the word straight. Look at it there in your Bible. It's not straight. It's straight. These are different words. The word with the gh in it means not crooked. The opposite of straight with the gh is like this. But he's not saying that the road is not crooked. He's saying it's straight in the sense that it's close, not broad. It's narrow. It's intimate. It's a narrow pass or passage. In Philippians 1 and verse 23, Paul uses this word. He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two. I'm in a narrow place. I want to go to heaven and be with God, but I also know I've still got work to do here on earth. And he's saying, I'm between a rock and a hard place. It's a very narrow spot that I'm in. And the path that leads to everlasting life is a narrow one. The door is a narrow door. The gate is a narrow one. The word narrow, it means of little breadth, not wide or broad, having a little distance from side to side. Imagine, if you will, that highway, that Katy Freeway, and all 26 lanes being bumper to bumper, heading towards destruction. Yet there's a little two-lane highway that has maybe one car. It's the idea here. It's narrow. Narrow, having little distance from side to side. It's narrow and it's limited, but let me make a distinction here that we must understand. It's narrow and limited, not in the sense that salvation is limited to a certain group of people. Because 1 John 2:2 says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But salvation is limited in one way. It's limited by whether or not a person is willing to walk through the door. It's limited to those who are willing to go through the straight gate. Thus, there are fewer that make that decision, fewer that make that choice. And while we understand that the terminology in Christ's illustration is that of a journey, there's a way and there's a broad way and there's a narrow way, and the transaction from leaving the broad way and going to the straight gate is an immediate thing. It is walking through that door, and then you begin a journey with Jesus. But let's not read into this to think that Salvation is a process. It is an immediate decision that a person can make. There's only one way that leads to life. There's only one way. And because it is a way that requires submission to God, it requires repentance, it requires a decision, many choose not to enter the straight gate. Therefore, it is counterculture and is uncrowded. I want to tell you very clearly this morning that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to everlasting life. Thomas said unto him, John 14, 4, 5 through 6, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus looks to him and said, no doubt thinks, oh, Thomas, here you go again. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way, my friends. Jesus in John 10, as he raised, in John 10, verse 7 and 9, he says, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All ye that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so we see Jesus using two different illustrations of this straight gate and this broad gate. And Jesus in John 10 says, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if we are to break free from the bondage that is going the broad way with the entire mainstream of society, it will be walking through the door that is Jesus Christ and accepting Him as your personal Savior. Now, I understand this morning how blunt this message may sound to some of you in here, but I must remind you that the words of Jesus in our text are blunt and straightforward and to the point, and as a preacher, I'm bound to match that. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the Bible says. Jesus is calling us. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. He's saying, accept me as your personal Savior. You see, you and I are the same. We're sinners. We were born and began this life on the broad way that leads to destruction by default, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 64, 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I must, in grace and in love, tell you from the words of Christ, you are on the broad way that leads to destruction, my friend. And whatever your reason is for not accepting Christ, you have joined the majority of the world walking on the broad way that leads to destruction. But let me tell you, that's each and every one of us had to make the choice to get off the broad way and enter the straight gate. Paul himself says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I love this verse. Turn with me. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Today we might use the word for effeminate being the trans lifestyle. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And the message that I preach to you this morning does not come from some moral high ground. I do not sit as judge over you as a preacher, for I myself am a sinner who deserves is deserving to burn in hell for all of eternity because I am a sinner and guilty before God. But yet as a young boy, I called out and asked for Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart and to save me. And guess what? He did it. And that was when the transaction was made, where I was walking on the broad path and Jesus picked me out of that and put me in the narrow way. And he could do the same for you today. When I read the words of Jesus, though blunt as they are here in this text, they are not harsh, because he says, enter ye at the straight gate. He's saying, welcome, come on in. Welcome, come on in. Jesus says, come, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Jesus offers eternal life. Jesus said, after raising Lazarus from the grave there in Bethany, in John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So this morning I encourage you, accept him. I echo the words of Jesus, enter ye in at the straight gate. The transaction can be made today. I read again Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I encourage you this morning. Jesus.